Okay, so we will chant the words of loving kindness. Okay, so please follow along. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let the able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, not burdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise will later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings they may be, whether they are weak or strong or meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depth, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred or ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be self-supply abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, free of sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Well, Ramji, over to you.
Okay, so Happy New Year to everyone. So it's been quite busy at the monastery, yeah? Because you see, just after the New Year Eve on New Year Day, yeah, normally we get a lot of people coming in the monastery. Yeah? So the first day of 2023, yeah, about something like 400 people come to the monastery. Yeah? Then the next day about 100, and today maybe close to 100 too. Yeah? So it's been quite busy in the monastery. Yeah? So sometimes I wonder why a lot of people come to the monastery. Yeah? Because you see, it's in Buddhist tradition, when the first day of the new year, a lot of Buddhists will come to the monastery and to offer alms rounds or share a meal with the Sangha. So it's just to start the New Year Eve, the people come in to start the new year just by doing an act of kindness and merit sharing with everyone and also with the Sangha. And also the receive a blessing for the new year. So yeah, so it's quite a new a tradition that most Buddhist country will do. Even places are not Buddhist, then they will come together in any religious gathering and just to practice together, pray together, and also to share and practice together. So yeah, so this has been a tradition all around the world. So yeah, so it's quite good that everyone is happy to come over and share with the we'll say the ceremony for the to welcome the new year. It's funny, sometimes on that day, on the New Year Day, I notice there's a lot of people that come over that we haven't seen before. So sometimes we call that the Wayside Buddhists, that usually they come only during the New Year Day or for Wayside celebration. Yes, so sometimes it's good to come more than just 1 or 2 days a year, because to come to the monastery, it actually reminds us to basically to practice, to be generous, and to just do good in the world. Because when it comes to the monastery, basically it reminds one ourselves to practice. Because when I was a layperson, when I first went to a monastery or a temple, it was quite an amazing experience. Because I see people, everyone was happy to come and share a meal together. And also to do them chanting and do them blessing together. So it was something quite new. And that struck me like, wow, this was special. But the energy is very different. Everyone was happy and everyone was enjoying the time in the monastery or the temple. So that always gave a strong imprint in my mind where in the world, people are just basically, can be quite cruel and competitive to one another. So, but coming to a monastery, you see a lot of kindness and a lot of happy people. So that brings a lot of happiness to my heart when I was a layperson. So that's why I got quite attracted to Buddhism, because of the loving kindness and the sharing and the generosity. Because the Buddha say, is the mind that's the forerunner of everything. Because when you look at the verse of the Dhammapada, the mind is the chief and it's the forerunner of everything. By what we do, good, bad or evil, we'll reap the karma. So if we do something unwholesome by body, speech and mind, it's like the karma that will follow that person no matter where they go. But if a person do well and do good by body, speech and mind, it's like a shadow that always follow that person no matter where they go. So that's why it's so important to keep the precept, to purify the mind and to develop wisdom. Because when we do that and we develop wisdom, it leads to happiness in one's heart and mind. So that's why it's very important for to start the new year in coming to the monastery and just offering a meal to the Sangha and just listening to the teaching of the Buddha. Because sometimes, sometimes it always reminds me why so many people come to the monastery and listen to the Dharma talk? Because the world can be very chaotic. Because the world is going the opposite direction. Greed, hatred and delusion. And sometimes people think too much. The more people think, the more problems arise in their mind. I was looking at a clip in YouTube where this person asked this person in his 60s, say, what advice will you give to yourself, what you know now? If you're in your when you're in your 16 years old, and this guy was in his 60s, and he looks a bit scruffy, long hair, beard, and he say, "What I'll give to myself as advice?" He say, "I'll tell myself when I was 16, not to think so much, and to listen to your mum, and to work very hard, work hard to study, work hard to get a partner, work hard in your job, and work hard to support your family and to do well in the career." Then I was thinking of that, that sounds like my mum. My mum used to tell me that too, to study hard, to go to university, to get a job, work hard in your career, and find a partner and settle down. I mean, I didn't study that well, so it's pretty good, so I didn't think so much. I did work 2 jobs and did many jobs. I didn't really find a partner at all because I find it was a bit too much pressure. And my friends were basically just competing one another. I find that, I'm not interested in competing one another. And it becomes like almost a bit of an act. So, but the funny thing is, my friends were single. They complained that they were single, and when they married, they complained that they're too busy and they don't have time, and they don't have free time. They wish they were single. I was going, wow, geez, okay, that don't sound right. But luckily, I came across Buddhism and meditation, and I found there is another way, not overthinking too much, worrying about problems, or not working really hard to get ahead in life. Because sometimes we realize if we work too hard, we think too much, we're stressed out and burn out. Because these days, people are just working so hard just to get by in life. Or some people just give up completely and get into other habits. But in Buddhism, we try and practice a middle way. Not too relaxed, not too extreme, or doing too many things. We walk the middle path. So the middle path is moderately, skillfully, in keeping our five precepts, washing our mind carefully, washing our mind, our body, our feelings, and our thoughts. Because when we wash these, also, so basically mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the mind, mindfulness of the feeling, and mindfulness of Dharma. So Dharma is basically wisdom. So when we develop these four foundational mindfulness, we are very careful and we are aware what's happening in our daily life, whatever we do, in order to develop wisdom, to lead to happiness. But the precept is the most important thing these days. How many people in the world keep the five precepts very few? And how many people are very careful watching the body, the mind, the feeling, and wisdom? Very few people does that. So as practitioners, we practice that way in order at least to overcome our suffering and develop our happiness, our compassion and wisdom, to lead happiness, to lead to happiness of virtue, happiness of a free mind. Then when wisdom arises, seeing things, the cause and effect of the harm and danger of not taking care of our mental well-being and our speech, our action, speech and mind, that leads to suffering to ourselves and other people. So when we develop wisdom or compassion, then it leads to happiness to ourselves and other people. So that's why it's so important to develop or be aware of these four foundational mindfulness. Okay, so let's see. What can I think of? Sometimes it's quite interesting trying to come up with interesting topics. But there's one simile that I noticed, when I stay in my kuti. Because when I stay in my kuti, it's very quiet and it's quite peaceful. And you learn a lot from nature. So sometimes I notice when the parrots or cockatoo come, they come in one big flock. They all come and flock into one tree or trees nearby, and they make a lot of crack, 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 cracking noise, and they start ripping all the leaves and the honky nuts from the gum trees, and they make a mess all over the place, and sometimes if they come close to the monk's hut, they'll throw all the honky nuts into the kuti, so you hear once in a while he just bang, bang, bang. I was going, wow, geez, these parrots, they make so much noise when they come over to my kuti or close by. Sometimes I feel like going out, just go, quiet. But as Buddhist monk, we cannot behave like that. Let's go let nature and animals be free and do what they like. Because this is part of nature, and there's no point fighting with nature. So I noticed, during the lunchtime, when the lay supporters come in, it's almost like the parrots. They come in one big groups with their families and friends, and they talk a lot, and it's so busy. It's like those parrots coming over next to my kuti, making all the cracking noise, and basically just ripping the trees apart, and the honky nuts. I was going, that's like almost like some of our lay supporters come over during lunchtime. But once in a while, when I come out, I see this really big bird that soar over up high in the sky. So I go, wow, what a what's the word, but like almost like a really beautiful bird. So when you look close to it, it's quite big. Yeah, it's actually a wedge-tailed eagle. Yep. So what's the word you can call for that? Like when you saw elegant, maybe elegant or magnificent bird, you saw up in the high, so quietly, yeah, and so high, just soaring in the sky. Yeah. And once he sees a prey, yeah, who swoop down very silently, yeah, and pick up the prey. Yeah. Could be a rabbit or a small mammal, or even a small bird, and just attack it, or eat it there, and just fly away with the victim. And I was thinking, wow, sometimes almost like the monks, we don't attack people. We come to the monastery quietly. We receive our alms bowl. We receive the lay people's offering. Then we quietly go back, have our meal, or go back to the monk's hut. So yeah, so it reminds me of the simile of the lay people coming in the monastery, making a lot of racket. Then the ego, just soaring really high and quietly by himself, and swooping down, getting the prey, eating dead, or flying away with the prey, with the food. So yeah, so that sometimes you learn a lot from nature. So yeah, so we should practice in a way that we saw really high, and quietly, like just like the eagle, wedge-tailed eagle. Okay, so I guess we can start the meditation, or unless someone needs to ask some other questions. If not, we can also ask questions afterwards. So meditation is basically, for those who are new, so meditation is basically just learning to ground yourself. Okay, so what we do is, just make yourself comfortable. And gently close your eye. With your eye gently closed, we always start off with a body scanning, or we call it exploring the body, exploring this body, mind and feeling. So with our eye closed, you bring our awareness to our face. We take a deep breath in, then breathe out. Breathe in, then breathe out. And just breathe naturally. It's very important just to ground ourselves within this body. Then we start off from the top of our head. We relax our forehead, relax our face, relax our neck. Relax our upper body. Any part of the upper body that's a bit tense or tight, we just relax it, and just let our energy, any tightness, just flow away or dissipate away from any tension. Now, we bring our awareness to our arms. Relax our arm. Relax our hands. Relax both our hands. Relax our fingers. Now, we bring our awareness to our back, our upper back. Make sure it's nice and straight, not too rigid. And relax our upper back. Then we bring our awareness down to our lower back. Then we relax our lower back. Relax our tummy. Relax our waist. Now, we gently bring our awareness down to our lower back, or the part that's sitting on the cushion. If you need to, please move it around, makes it comfortable. Then relax. Relax the part of our back that's sitting on the seat. Relax. Let any tension or any tightness just flow to all our whole body. Let the tightness, the stiffness just become dissipated. So with our lower back relaxed, now we bring our awareness to both our leg. Relax our leg. Relax our knee. Relax our ankle. Relax our feet. Relax our toes. Now, we gently bring all our awareness to our whole body. With this awareness grounded with this body, we feel, we notice any part that is still a bit tight or stiff or sore or a bit painful. We just allow it to relax. Relax. And make ease. Make it ease. Make it soft. with this body relaxed now, we can bring our awareness back to our face and just notice our breathing in and out calmly, peacefully, gently, softly. We use our breath to calm and to relax the body and the mind. And to make peace with our thoughts. We're so busy planning and thinking, but now it's time just to let our plans and our goal and our responsibility go. Meditation is an emotional path. Of peace, calm, and letting go. If you find any part of your body that's still a bit tense or tight, it's okay. Sometimes we're very busy. The busier we get in life, the stiffer our body becomes. Now it's time just to relax. Relax our body. Give it a break. slowly let any stiffness, any tightness, any busyness, let it go. And just relax the body. It's in a safe place. Allow your breath to breathe in gently and calmly. Relax and let go. Breathing in, relax, and breathing out, letting go. if you find you still have wandering thoughts, it's okay. Just gently bring your awareness back to the body. Any tension, any stiffness, just relax. Relax the body as much as possible. And just use our breathing to calm, to make peace with our thoughts, our feelings, and with the body. We use our breath as a point of comfort and peace and calmness. as our body becomes still and relaxed, then our mind becomes calm and peaceful. This is where we find peace, calm, and freedom. We find happiness within. Formerly chaotic world. Peace is always in our mind and in our body. Please enjoy this moment of stillness and calm. From a chaotic world. We'll finish the meditation soon. So please enjoy the next few minutes of calm and peace. So I'll ring the gong 3 times. On the 3rd ring, come out of meditation, gently and slowly. Okay, so yeah, just slowly come out and just sit quietly. It does take a while for everything to calm down. Because we are living in a world where there's so much information and news. Even in the monastery, we hear so many different news from our supporters, also some of our friends. It's like the whole world is bombarded by information. And sometimes I notice if I listen or see the news too much, it can be a bit overwhelming. Yep. So sometimes it's good to basically have a break and just get away from daily life, busyness, worry and anxiety. Because if we think too much, we plan too much for the future, and we worry too much, it does not help us. The most important thing is to take care of our own virtue, our own mental well-being, and especially our own peace of mind. Because we are living in a world that is so uncertain. Things are changing so fast. Yep. And the whole world is getting crowded. And there's more things happening. One thing I noticed, but it's always been like that. It can be very chaotic, but the good thing is, once things are very chaotic out there, you can always come back in. We come back in, we ground ourselves within this body. Then when the body is grounded, we bring our awareness just back in, using our breath just to calm everything down, calm, relax this body. And just to relax and still the mind. Because when the mind is calm and peaceful and still, we see things clearly. We understand why people behave or think and do things unskillfully. And mainly it's just because of looking for happiness or looking for some gain and honor, something to do. It's just busyness. Sometimes I notice people are so busy with their day-to-day life. And sometimes people can't learn how to sit down quietly and peacefully. So meditation is learning just to accept things and let things go. But also the most important thing is the let go of any of our anxiety or worry, because we are living in a world that's not perfect. Sometimes people tend to take advantage of one another or just argue, have many different views. But sometimes it's best to basically let go of all these things that's happening and just learn to sit down peacefully and ground ourselves in our own breath. Because when the mind is quiet, calm and peaceful, we see things clearly through a mind that's pure, free from greed, hatred, and delusion. Because if there's a lot of delusion, we don't see things clearly. So when the mind is calm, peaceful, and still, we see things clearly. Yep. So that's something that I notice people are losing these days. They're so busy. And sometimes if I hang around people that are so busy, I become very busy too. Yep. And also that's why these days I'm trying to spend more time by myself in the forest, in the Kuti, and just watch the nature, the birds, the kangaroos, the forests. Yep. It's so peaceful and calm. When the environment is calm and peaceful, then the mind becomes calm and peaceful. Yeah, so that's why for monastic and practitioner, we always look for quiet places, deep in the forest, up in the hills, or up in the mountain, away from the busyness of daily life. So same thing, yeah. So when you find life can be very busy and full of burden and worry about the future, sometimes we just have to withdraw back in, back to this body and to the mind. Yep. And we allow our breath just to calm everything down. Yep. Because our breath is our safety line. So when we stay with the breath, then we allow the body to relax, and the mind to become calm. We let go of the future. We let go of the past. Everything is so uncertain. The most important thing is now. Our peace and happiness is where we find peace, freedom, and wisdom. Yep. Not through thinking or doing things, just sitting there quietly. So when we're quiet, then we find our mind is clear. Okay, so is there any questions?
If you have a question, please feel free to unmute yourself or put a question in the chat. Oh, Gloria has got a question for you, Bandi.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, just when I was meditating, I think it's like a suppressed anger comes up over like a past events, and then I become really angry, and then I stay angry for the rest of the meditation. So what would you usually recommend when something like this happens, like suppressed emotions or suppressed anger comes up during meditation? Yes, thank you.
Okay, that's a good question. It's not easy, yeah? Because even myself, I do have anger, because being a monastic, sometimes you try your best, you take care of people, and sometimes even myself, I find I get taken advantage and used and manipulated. And my intention was to help people out in this monastery and other monastery. But just due to defilements of other monastic and lay people, basically they want to take advantage of me and put me down, because the reason why is because they're suffering and they're not secure. So that is a tough one. So when anger come up, but like the Buddha say in the verse of Dhammapada, the person, he used me, he abused me, he hit me. So all these thoughts is not good for the practice. Because sometimes we hold on to this, yes, it stops us from finding peace and happiness. So what I find sometimes with my own practice, I see this as a experience. Sometimes these things are meant to happen, because in life we have the best intention to support one another and to support our monastic friends. But when people let us down and they use and manipulate it and take advantage of us and put us down, then we have to see this inner hurt within our heart. It's our lesson. We learn to understand we are living in the world. The world is very chaotic. There's so much problem. People take advantage and use and abuse us. And when that happens, we just have to learn to let go and see it as a learning experience and learn basically just to keep away from people that's very manipulated in the world and set a boundary. Because when we set a boundary, we don't allow that person to hurt us or use us. Because if we don't set a boundary, then it will happen again and again and again. So sometimes it's not easy, it's very hard. But if we set a boundary, we distance ourselves, then it's not too bad. But if it does still happen again, then we have to learn to forgive ourselves. You know that we are human being, things like that do happen. And sometimes I have to remind myself, there is no happiness outside of my mind and the five senses. If I want to find happiness and peace, I look inside. When the mind is calm, then the mind is free. If the mind is confused, then the mind is in turmoil. That's why sometimes you have to reflect on non-self. But the Buddha say, if there's a self, there's my suffering and my problem. But if there's no self, then we're free. We're free from the hurt, the disappointment, and the regret. So forgiveness is very important. We forgive other people, but especially we forgive ourselves. So when we forgive ourselves, we free ourselves. If it's still hard to forgive, then you have to think your intention is pure. You don't make any bad karma. Because the other person that's making bad karma is their problem, is their mind. Because I notice in the monastery, people that is practicing well, they have a very pure mind. So they can do good meditation easily. The people that's angry, they're all over the place. They can't sit still. They're so chaotic. The more unhappy they become, the more they have to work harder, and the more they have to do things. So it's like having a restless mind around the place. So that's why, as a Buddhist monk, we only spend like maybe 2 or 3 hours together in the community. And the rest of the 20 hours, we spend by ourselves. So so there's less people to irritate one another. Sometimes I ask myself, I should know better, but no, it's gonna let it be. It's just a lesson for me, that things like that happen. Yep. But most important thing, you're coming from good intention, and you're not making any bad karma. So what other people do, they make the bad karma, that is their business. Karma is quite interesting. It just goes around and comes around. Yep. So sometimes, it's quite interesting. But sometimes I feel like I get used and abused in the monastery. But if I don't react, then I'm free. If I react, I just cause more suffering to myself and other people. Yeah, it is very difficult, I do admit. And the world that we're living in is getting worse. So the best thing is just try and disappear. Just disappear as much as possible. So when you disappear, you're free. Yep. And when you disappear, you don't allow other people do not allow other people's behavior to spoil your happiness at this moment. Yep. Sometimes the Buddha gave a simile that if someone is mentally sick, their words that come out is very bad. Sometimes you have to see that they're mentally not healthy, because a person that's happy and kind will not hurt other people. Yep. So only people that's mentally unwell will hurt other people and hurt themselves. That's why the Buddha say always associate with wise people. So a wise person is someone that bring happiness to themselves and other people. A foolish person brings suffering to themselves and other people. Yep. So we try our best to associate with good people. So what you're doing now is great. Join this meditation, and everyone's practicing. We're all practicing together. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions? Rebecca?
Well, we do have another one, just one moment. Gloria, thank you very much for your question. It's a very interesting question, and for your answer about Bhante. Very, very interesting discussion there. Becky would like to ask the question. Becky, would you like to unmute yourself? Becky has actually put something in the chat here. Would you like to unmute and ask directly, Becky, or would you rather I read it from the chat?
Chris, I think maybe you read because I'm not good in speaking.
Yeah, I can do that for you. Bhante, if you're okay, I'll read it from the chat for you.
Okay, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante. So good to see you again, Bhante Chunda. How to let go of the concern and anxieties over the body when having chronic illness and pain. I tend to think I'm old enough to say, okay, I have enough from life, let whatever comes and nature take its course. Thank you very much. Would you like to comment on that?
Hmm.
So how to let go of the concerns and anxieties?
Okay.
Having chronic illness and pain.
Yep. So body pain is something that is not easy. Depend how much pain a person is in. But what I find is sometimes when there's overwhelming pain, we go into it, then we learn to almost switch off. So how we switch off is we learn not to react to the pain. So it's easier said than done. So one way is to basically when you sit meditation, it's go into the breath. When you go into the breath, then if you don't move the body, it will slowly disappear. And if you move the body, then the awareness of the body will come back. That's why body scanning is very important. Yep. And why I say that is a good practice is sometimes we have people that come to our meditation class or our retreat that have really bad cancer or injury. And if they can learn to accept the pain and let go of the body, then it disappears. Because when we are in pain, we're almost like desperate to get rid of the pain. And sometimes when there's a lot of pain, the best way to do that is to basically learn to drop the body as much as possible. Yeah. I mean, one reason why I go into meditation is when I was younger, I would have bad anxiety and my hand would shake to the point where I have to learn to relax my body as much as possible. Because I heard meditation can heal the body. So that's why I did meditation. And I enjoyed the quietness of the mind and being attached from the body. That actually I felt a lot of happiness when I was doing meditation, and the mind become very peaceful and calm. Once that happened, I wasn't aware of the body. It's only when I bring the awareness to the pain or the body, it arises. But if I bring my awareness to the breath, then the body will disappear. When the pain is gone, you feel a lot of peace and bliss from not carrying this burden around. So it is difficult to drop the body, but the more we drop it, the easier it gets. Because I notice as I get older and older, this body is just a bit more ache and pain. But the only way for me to not carry this burden body around is basically just learn to let it go once in a while. Yep, allow it to disappear. Yep, and basically one important thing is to accept the pain and the old age of this body. The more we accept it, the more we make peace with it, the more we can let it go. The more we fight it, the more we try and do something about it, the more it becomes an attachment. Yep. So it's not easy, but you have to learn to be quite skillful. So explore anxiety. Anxiety is a tough one. Sometimes you have to try and do walking meditation, and if that don't work, try to do metta meditation. So just send metta out to people that annoy you. If that don't work, then send metta to your family members, people that you care, that you that respect you and care for you. Especially send metta to yourself, because metta to oneself is very important. Yep. And that may lessen the anxiety. Okay, I hope that's useful.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Yeah. Sorry that I might be over the place. Sometimes when I speak, because I don't come from reading too much books. So for me, I don't mass amount detail in my mind compared to other monks. I just come from practice and experience. So sometimes when you stay in the forest, you don't really see anyone for like hours, and you don't think so much. So when you start to try and think and come out of things, it becomes like a bit of a burden to come up with stories and ideas and become an entertainer. So that's why with practitioner or forest monks, we spend a lot of quiet time in the forest. So if there's no community and sitting in front, I find it very hard to relate to people. Because before the lockdown, when I go to the Armadale class, there's up to maybe 40 or 50 people in front of me. So it's easy to interact with people. But when you have to interact to a camera or through a speaker, I find it very hard to connect. So the connection is actually lost. So it's sometimes very difficult for me to come up with stuff. So it's almost like being a monk now. It's like being an entertainer and a storyteller. So I'm not really good at that. So please forgive me if I say or speak not clear or properly. Okay. Okay, so if there's no more questions, then we will stop.
Yeah, so sorry, Bhante. I actually have a point to make here.
Yes.
I share your talks with my family members and with my dearest friends,
mm-hmm.
because I find the messages you give are very clear and very easy to understand and very useful. So I would just like to say thank you, Bhante, for your efforts to talk with us. I for one, and I'm sure many others here tonight also enjoy your talks. And we have 30 members here this evening.
Oh, okay. So. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
The Gloria has also said your answer is wonderful and very helpful, and Martha's just reiterated my words by saying she feels the same, very clear and very helpful.
Yes, sometimes if there's question and answers, then it's easy to answer the questions, because for monastic, you find that with Ajahn Brown and senior monks, if there's question and answer, it's easier to connect. If there's no questions, it's very hard to connect. Because like what Ajahn Brown says on the talk on Friday night, when there's an audience, it's easier to feel what's happening with the audience and to connect. Because with Skype these days, it's very hard to connect what's happening if there's no questions. Yep. So I hope it wasn't bit of a burden for everyone to put up with me tonight.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Okay.
Bhante, we have another question for you from
yes.
Christina. She would like to know, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, okay. I think we just, you see, I find that it's good to keep things simpler. So this is from the saying of all the Sammasambuddha. So to avoid evil and do good and cultivate and purify the mind. And this is the teaching of all Sammasambuddha. So all Buddhas arise in the past and the future. This is what they mainly teach, to avoid doing evil, to do good, and to purify the mind. So basically, keeping the precept, calming the mind, then learning the teaching and developing wisdom within yourself. Because wisdom is something, you don't have, books only gives an idea or the roadmap, but when we keep our precept, and we calm and purify the mind with loving kindness and compassion, then we see the suffering in ourselves and other people more clearly. So if we all can continue practicing the Eightfold Path and just avoid doing evil, cultivate goodness and purify the mind, then we should do well. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bhante, I have a question for you. The honorifics Bhante and Venerable and Ajahn.
Yes.
How should these be used and for whom should we use these?
Okay, so Venerable is a common term for all monastic. So Bhante is mainly for a Buddhist monk, fully ordained Buddhist monk. And Ayal is usually a fully ordained Buddhist nun. And Ajahn is usually a monk that's been enrolled for 10 years. So in Thailand, Ajahn, what it means is teacher. So this is the difference with Venerable. But Venerable can be used for all monastic. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
About the comment about that. Because in the when you read the suttas,
mm-hmm.
people address the Buddha as Bhante.
Yes.
No? So for me, I just find it's just such a lovely term. It means teacher.
Yes.
So it's just a lovely way to address a monk.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Bhante is in Sri Lanka, you see use Bhante, yeah? But in other countries like in Thailand, they use Venerable Ajahn. It's just the culture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but the proper way to address a bhikkhu is Bhante, yeah? According to the Buddhist teaching. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, no worries. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for organizing everything. And
actually, Marlene is the organizer.
Oh, Marlene. Okay, thanks, yes. Marlene. Yes. So.
Can I share something also?
Please, Marlene. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Bhante, for your talk. And I love when you give your life experience. And because I can relate very much to what you're telling, especially about the noisy birds.
Yes.
I don't have any cockatoos or here, but sometimes I have noisy neighbors. So I can relate, and maybe next time I'm going to. Well, I wanted to know how do you deal with the noisy birds? Is this just you think, oh, it's okay, it's nature, they're noisy, and then your irritation or anger goes away? So I would like you to explain or comment a little more, please.
Okay, so with noise and unpleasant sound, we have to turn inwards and look at our heart. Because Ajahn Chah was saying that sometimes when he goes into the forest, it's very quiet and peaceful. So when he come out from the forest and go into the village, he hear people playing loud music And it gets quite annoying. Yeah? So when he reflects on himself, it's not that the noise is disturbing him. He is disturbing the noise. So this is a way for a monastic. So when we hear noise, we have to learn not to disturb the noise. In saying that, when we are doing the guided meditation next door, there's a lookout. They will say, I think some people was hanging out at the lookout playing the loud music. So I'm not sure if people heard it on the microphone, but I can hear the boom, 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 boom for next door. But because the window here is double glazed, so this room is quite soundproof. But I can hear the discotheque next door from the lookout. And some of the monks told me sometimes it's so loud. It goes on from 10 o'clock to early in the morning. And it can go on for days. That some of the anagarikas or trainee or some of the monks, even some of the monks will walk out to the lookout and ask him to keep it down. Because there's about 40 monks and trainees and lay people in the monastery. Yeah. But we know it's just kids messing around at the lookout, just outside the monastery. Yeah. So almost every weekend they'll come in and play their loud music. So it is a good teaching for us. We have to learn to basically just not to get upset or annoyed. Yeah. So it's been very good teaching for the monks here when the young kids start playing their loud music in the car. So at the monastery we have that problem too. Yes. Okay, so we learn not to disturb the noise. So yeah, it's not the noise disturb us, but we disturb the noise. We make peace with the noise. Okay, so we'll finish. So everyone good night and happy new year. And please stay safe. And just continue practicing. Yep. The more you practice, the more free and the more wise you become. Because meditation and the precept is a protection. When we keep the precept, we protect ourselves from harm and danger. And when we meditate, we purify the mind. When the mind is purified, it's clear from defilements, self and ego, then we can develop wisdom from a kind, still mind. Okay, thank you. Okay, good night. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, good night.
Good night, Pantai.
Okay. Good night. Thanks, Margaret.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.